The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here live at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Predators kick off their season tonight against the Seattle Kraken. Seattle's already played a game. They lost to Vegas Tuesday night, 4-3. No Cali Yarncroke in the house tonight. COVID protocols. Talked to AJ Malesko Tuesday night. She said, hey, 10 days, he's out. He will not be here on Thursday. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe alongside. What do you got, Chase?
So speaking of COVID protocols, this out of the NFL, Dan Graziano of ESPN says, per source, there have been 3 positive COVID tests reported with the Arizona Cardinals this week, leading to increased testing for several players and personnel. The team is not yet required to move to intensive protocols, but one more positive test would put them there. So it's
keep a close eye on that. Big game in Cleveland against the Browns. We're excited. We're starting back our weekly chats. Thursdays at 1 o'clock with Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet, 32 Thoughts. He now joins us. Elliot, hope you had a great summer.
Yes, you guys too. Excellent.
What's new and exciting? Beard? No beard? What we got? What do we have? What's the look for this season that is upon us?
Sideburns right now, and I'm deciding they're kind of bushy. Like, I'm getting people sending me like circa 1800s U.S. presidents on Twitter. So I'm going to see what I decide to do with this. My wife has said to me, why can't you just be normal? But I don't really have a good answer for any of these questions.
Oh, so you're rolling with the chops right now. Okay. All right. Like it. Yesterday, Matthias Ekholm signs a 4-year extension that will kick in after this season. 6.25 per, basically a 4-year deal for $25 million. For the big Swedish defenseman. What did you make of the move? What did you think? Uh-oh, we just lost him. He just got zapped.
Wow. What a way to start it.
I hope that's not any indication of what he thought of the deal.
I know. Well, we'll have to get him back because I'm curious to hear his thoughts.
By the way, he says that every time he brings up his wife, it's always something like, what's wrong with you?
I heard him.
Why can't you be normal?
I love the 1800 U.S. presidents. But I thought he had agreed on his podcast that he was going to be normal for 1 year. I don't know if the sideburn still is in the gray area that he can get away with it. Apparently so.
By the way, the column and the podcast officially now
32
Thoughts.
Yep. Yeah. Very good stuff.
Yeah, I think we have him back. So before we get his answer, there was one thing in question, Elliot, while we were stalling to get you back.
What's that?
It was noted that on your latest podcast that we were under the impression that you had declared to the world that you were going to try to be normal.
Yeah, that you had agreed for 1 year to be normal. I guess the sideburns still qualifies in the boundary.
You know what happened was I completely forgot about them. I've had them for obviously a couple months, and I completely forgot about them. And then when I was in, this is a thing only a TV person could say, I was in the makeup chair for the first show on Tuesday night, and they're like, what do you want to do about these sideburns? And I was like, just leave them, because I think I was on the phone at the time, so I wasn't paying attention. And I get on air, and all of a sudden, a friend of mine says to me, look at your Twitter feed, like read your mentions. And this wasn't even planned. This was like a happy accident, like Benjamin Franklin discovering electricity by accident. That's what this was.
I have determined another thing that we were discussing in the stall to get you back. If there's ever a week throughout the course of this season that you need to miss, I'm just going to go on and put in the request. Do you think your wife could fill in for you? I think we get a kick out of every time you bring up your wife, it's always like she's telling you what's wrong with you, why can't you be normal. I think she may be a hoot to talk to.
You know, I'll tell you this. She's pretty private. She's been asked to talk. There was a writer from the Globe and Mail, the national newspaper up here in Canada, who did a really nice article on me last year, and he wanted to speak to her. And I don't tell her what to do. She, as we all know, she's my boss. So I said, "You want to talk?" And she's like, "You know, I really prefer not to." I will ask her. She did one when I wore the turtleneck last year for the first time. She has a good friend who hosts a radio show up here in Toronto. And the friend asked her, "Would you go on and talk about what it's like to be around all this stuff?" And she did it because she knew the person. But put it this way, guys, I will ask her. If she says yes, I got no problem with it, but I'm warning you, she does stay pretty private.
Okay. We can respect that. I did not know that, so we just wanted to put that out there. That's awesome.
Yeah, if she wants to do it, I'll ask her. If she says yes, I'll let you guys know.
Okay. That's fair enough. I think you got zapped the minute you were getting ready to give your answer on what you thought of the new deal for Ekholm.
Well, I think it's a good deal. Obviously, for player, the player wants to be in Nashville, right? You guys know this better than me. Matthias Ekholm wants to be a Predator. And I don't think there was ever a question of the Predators wanting Matthias Ekholm, but there's a question of price. You guys did some deals when you were competing for a Stanley Cup, and they haven't worked the way everybody wanted it to do. And what that has meant is now the Predators are being a bit more austere. And they're sitting there saying, we got to be very careful about what we do. And, you know, someone pointed out to me, I was talking to another GM, because whenever someone signs, you know, I always look for comparables. Like, how does that do to other deals? And I was talking to another GM, and he said, basically, that's Petrie. And that's turning out to be a good deal for team and player. And he said, it's a very sensible deal for Nashville and Ekholm. The player's happy. The team's happy. The fan's happy because they like Ekholm. And the other thing is, and this was a big one that a couple teams and agents told me about, if you look at a lot of the defensemen who are signing big deals, they have the big counting number. Goals, assists, points. As you guys know, Ekholm's value is not in that. He's not going to have enormous counting numbers. So sometimes it's more difficult to get to the number. In that particular case, Nashville will be happy with the term. The player will be very happy with the number. And the other thing I think is, even if you're going through, and I forget off the top of my head what David Poile's term for this phase you're going through is, you still have to have good players. You still have to have pros. And number three, you have to have players the fans want to see. And your fans want to see Ekholm. And if I was there, I only judge by would I do that deal. And I would do that deal if I was the Predators, for sure.
As David Poile told us Tuesday, as he started his weekly with us on this past Tuesday for the entire season, he would like a do-over on competitive rebuild. He would like for it to be deemed competitive transition is the word he used.
Yeah.
Transition instead of rebuild, which we can understand.
Always, we get too caught up in words. You know, we really do. I think, honestly, sometimes I think we just get fans and even teams and media, we put labels on things, and I think the smartest word is to say, we're in transition. We're figuring out some things here. I think that makes perfect sense.
By the way, the media also, we're selfishly happy about the deal because Ekholm is a delight to deal with. He's been awesome over the years to deal with. So I want to ask you national perspective. You're right. We do know Matthias. We've been around him and have, you know, in fact, you can tell your wife, we used to do shows with Julie and Ida, right? We had a great time. They'd come in studio and do an hour with us, with Julie Turris and Ida Ekholm. But what is everybody, we know what he brings to the table. We know what he's all about. but around the league, in the hockey circles, is he underrated? Do you think everybody – is he rated? Does everybody know exactly what Matthias Ekholm is? Like, how would you answer that, like, from a perspective outside of this market? What do people think of Ekholm?
Ekholm's got a lot of fans. You know, I think the only thing that that hurts him now is that sports have become very ageist, guys. Like, like any time now someone hits their 30s, and I really hope guys like Tom Brady change all this, you know, because we know so much more about our bodies, and if we really want to take care of ourselves, we can do a better job of extending careers. But, you know, people just look at it now, he's almost 32. Well, you know, he's going to break down eventually. Well, yeah, but Nashville knows the player better than anyone else. I think overall, Ekholm has huge respect around the league. They know what a talented guy he is. They know what a great partner he is. You know, you guys know, when his name was all over the trade rumor board last year, there was nobody who didn't want him. Like, no contender is going to say no to Ekholm. And he's also been, for a long time, an analytics darling. Like, the people who are really into it, they really like his game. You know, like, nobody in the NHL is sleeping on Matthias Ekholm. Nobody thinks that this guy isn't worth a big deal. He's pretty highly respected.
Last night, Elliot, I think I was grabbing a tissue to sneeze, and by the time I was done with my sneeze, it was 2-0 Avalanche without McKinnon. That's a pretty scary proposition. I think, you know, yeah, the final was 4-2, but if you watch the game, I think Colorado was clearly the better team and in control of that game, and I get it. It's one game to start the season, but how good do you think this Avalanche team can be and will be ultimately?
Well, if Jack Johnson continues to look like Roman Josi on that first goal, I think they're going to be even better. You know, I think they're really good. Like, they're my Stanley Cup pick this year. One thing you've learned is that in the salary cap, every team has a weakness. And who can overcome their weaknesses? And it was interesting. I had a chance to talk at length with Nathan MacKinnon. Last year in the second round of the playoffs, they were up 2-0 against Vegas. They lost 4 in a row and got wiped out. And he talked about how they panicked. That as a team, he said, we panicked. Vegas pushed us, and we fell apart. And he said, in the long run, we are going to have a better idea of how to handle ourselves because of what we went through. Colorado has elite-level talent. They really do. I'm not, you know, Kemper in goal, he's got to stay healthy. That's his biggest issue. And that's their Achilles heel. But they have elite-level talent. They have a lot of good players. And, you know, I don't think if McKinnon hopefully is back and healthy as soon as Saturday, I don't know if they could win the Stanley Cup without McKinnon being there. But they can certainly handle him being out on a short-term basis.
Talking to Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 thoughts. So, Elliot, let's talk, you know, we're talking a little central here. It is interesting, and I don't think anybody here thinks it's outrageous, but it's an interesting thing when you look at the expectations for the Predators. They've gone down over the last couple of years. They've gotten younger. Mm-hmm. They've gotten bigger. They've got an identity now. But when you look at the Central Division, almost everybody is picking them seventh, and it's not a huge surprise, but tell me what you think, if it falls right, where the ceiling could be for them.
Well, if it falls right, you make the playoffs. Whenever at the beginning of the year, I don't necessarily pick divisions 1-8, but I sort of pick, like, who's where, right? Like, I think Colorado's at the top and Arizona's at the bottom. I don't think that's breaking news anywhere. I think most people would say that. The teams that I think have a chance to be really good are, I think Winnipeg has a chance to be really good. I know that's going to make me really popular in Nashville, but I think Winnipeg has a chance to be really good. I think Dallas is a team that if the goaltending holds up, they've got a lot of depth. I think they're pretty good. I'm very curious to see Minnesota. They're not fooling anybody this year. They're not catching anybody by surprise. They're going to get everyone's best game. They're a good team. I think so. I see Winnipeg, Dallas, and Minnesota in the next group. Guys, I honestly have no idea what to expect from Chicago. Like, I didn't think they would happen what happened last night, but I don't know how good they are. With you guys, here are my questions, okay? Does that super line stay together and run over the league? You know, and if they do, you know, who gives you your secondary scoring? Who is the young player who steps up this year and makes a difference, or maybe the player that we're hoping makes a breakthrough and makes a difference? And number three, and this is a guy I'm really curious to see in a new situation, is David Rittich. And David Rittich is another guy I root for. His family story with his brother is very special. I think he's a good human being. But when we went away for the pause in March 2020, his game kind of fell apart. He came back. He was not the same goalie in the bubble, and he wasn't the same last year, and Calgary lost faith in him. Now, I don't hold that. Like, I think there's a lot of people who came back out of the pause, and they weren't the same. And I think that that is a very legitimate excuse. It threw a lot of us off. But now he gets a new set in a situation where you guys have been very good with your goalies. And I think Rittich, this is a big year for him. It probably determines in some ways where his future is going to be. And if he can get back to the way he was before the bubble, I think he has a chance to have a very big impact for you.
I know you've talked about this some on your podcast. And David Poile, now here we are 48 hours later, he talked to us. He said basically, in a nutshell, we're working on Ekholm, then we'll get to Forsberg, is basically in the gist of it is what he was saying. So we do wonder all the different pathways it could take. It took several weeks into the season to get Roman Josi's contract done a couple of years ago. So we've seen examples of a lot of different ways it can go. So what are your thoughts on the market value for Forsberg right now and where things stand?
Well, I think this year, guys, you're going to see a few cases where people sort of go through the season and they see how the season goes. Like there's a lot of times you look at a guy heading into the last year and it's panic time. And you're like, if this guy doesn't sign, it's a disaster. I think this year is going to be different. I think we have, for example, where I am, there's a defenseman named Morgan Riley who doesn't have a contract for next year. He's drafted by the Leafs, the fifth overall. He loves Toronto. The organization loves him. But with the way the defenseman's salary has just skyrocketed this year, they couldn't reach a deal. And what I think the Leafs and him have decided is they're punting it till later in the year. They're going to see how the year goes. The Leafs know what this is going to cost them. And if he has a monster season and they decide they have to keep him and get rid of someone else, I think that's what they'll eventually end up doing. But they've punted it for now. Now, the one thing is, like, I know the reports have been that Forsberg and the Predators really haven't talked. I take that at its word. But I've also been around long enough to know that sometimes we're told that, so reporters stop being annoying. So I think that I have a feeling that the Predators and Forsberg kind of know what each other's positions are. And I think they're punting this to see kind of where we go. And, you know, does Forsberg, and, like, is there any reason, like, you guys know him better than me. Do you think there's any reason he's unhappy there and wants to leave?
No. Not unhappy.
Okay.
I do think there is a, you know, I'd like to see that, I mean, the whole concept of transition probably is, hey, let's hope the transition is going in the right direction. If it does,
The best way to put it is we have felt all along Ekholm was going to be a slam dunk, no-brainer, done deal, and Forsberg does not feel that way.
Not a slam dunk.
It does not feel like a slam dunk. It's, I don't know, I don't want to say 50-50, but there's, There's hesitation, for sure. Like, nobody really knows how this is going to play out. Like, it's not – like, Ekholm, it was like, he's going to be back. It's just a matter of them figuring it out. Like, he's not going anywhere. I'm not so sure we feel the same about Philip Forsberg, although no one's going to be surprised if indeed he is back with a long-term deal.
But I do think he has gotten pretty entrenched, you know, with the friends he's got here, his –
Well,
is it fiance?
Fiance, yeah.
From Georgia, singer. You know, there's some things that definitely he's got some roots here that I think are, you know, that's hard.
Oh,
like Matthias talked about it a lot. You know, he's from Sweden, but he has always felt like, hey, Nashville has become
there's
home.
A lot
I think
of pluses,
Phillip's got some of that.
But it's not the same feeling.
Not
right?
Quite
we would
same.
All admit it's not the same
and he
vibe.
Wasn't, he yeah. wasn't happy when they traded Arvidsson. They
well,
were
we
very
know
close.
We know that, but he's explained that, you know, sort of a knee-jerk kind
sure.
of thing. But so, Elliot, you know, I think the other thing is we saw Brady Tkachuk sign. I think Philip is a little younger. He's probably going to think that 7-8 years is much more in his wheelhouse, right?
Right. And this is the way I look at this situation. David Poile has been an executive in the National Hockey League for what, like 50 years, right?
Yeah. Long time.
J.P. Barry, who represents Forsberg, he's been either an agent or worked for the Players Association for like 30 years, okay? These two guys have seen everything. They have seen everything. And, you know, when it's agent GM, there's a bit of an adversarial nature to it, but they've seen everything. You don't think David Poile has a very good idea of or knows exactly what Philip Forsberg wants? And I would think that Philip Forsberg's representatives know exactly what Nashville wants. They know where they are right now, and I just think that performance by both player and team will dictate where this goes. And I think if, you know, I'll tell you this, if Forsberg has a big year and Nashville is comfortable with the direction it's going and so is he, it's going to work out. But, you know, if he struggles or, you know, he says they're going a different direction, they're going to say, okay, it's time. But I think if Nashville's plan goes the way it wants it to go and Forsberg has the kind of year he hopes to have, I got to think at the end of the day it works out. But you let it play out. And I think the experience of the GM and the experience of the agent, if there's a way to make this work later, they'll make it work later.
In your mind, Elliot Friedman here with us from Sportsnet, is there an in-season deadline, though, to make those decisions? Like, is it the trade deadline, or is it they're willing to kind of do like they did with Granlund last year and Ekholm and let that pass by and hold on and hope for the best?
Well, I got to think there will be conversations. Like, again, I think it depends on how the season goes. Like you know, like Lou Lamoriello, the longtime GM of the Islanders, like, I love his saying, if you have time, use it, okay? Right now, there's time. Now, if Nashville's season goes poorly, then all of a sudden that trade deadline, he's going to have to know. And that's
right.
When David Boyle's going to have to be able to say, what do I, like, not what I believe will happen, but, or not what I hope will happen, but what do I honestly think is going to happen here? So I think it depends on Nashville's start. Like, if you guys are in the race and they want to go for the playoffs and you think you can keep Forsberg, then I think you do. But again, I know this isn't the answer people like hearing, but I really do believe it. Performance dictates. Performance dictates what you decide to do.
So real quick on Seattle tonight, they named Giordano their captain. He's got 1 year left on his deal. And, you know, see, I think most people look at Seattle not the same way they looked at Vegas, as, you know, they're going to be competitive, but it's going to be a process. He could potentially, you know, fetch something at the deadline, but you name him the captain. I feel like that they're going to, you know, want to keep him around for a while.
I don't think it's impossible. And Ron Francis has always believed defense first. Defense first. That's the way they think. And so it wouldn't surprise me if that's what they decide to do. I think it'll also depend on what happens around them. in terms of who else they value, but it wouldn't shock me if they kept him.
Elliot, appreciate it as always. Looking forward to talking to you this entire hockey season. Thanks for doing this. Have a great rest of your day.
Great to be back on radio in the great city of Nashville, and this year I'm coming down at some point.
Oh yes. Right.
Cannot wait.
All right.
That's what we want to
hear. We will get the itinerary ready for you.
Beers on Hal Gill.
Now I'm really coming. That's for sure.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet and 32 Thoughts. Yes, our weekly is back Thursdays at 1 o'clock. We're going to give you a chance on the other side to be in the building with us tonight. We're going to give you a trivia question. Where if you answer it, you can come to tonight's game as the Predators host the Kraken. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this gorgeous Thursday. Our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. And I can tell you firsthand, especially their pet side of things, because they do have CBD oil specifically for pets. I'm here to tell you, for someone who has a female German Shepherd that's got medical issues, which includes seizures, since we've started her on Creation, on the pet side of things, pet-specific oil, we've just never, in three-plus years, we've never seen the turnaround. It's been amazing. It's been life-changing.
Yeah.
Life-changing for her, life-changing for us. And I know we cannot be the only pet owner out there that has, you know, a dog that has a medical condition like that where they have seizures. And I'm just telling you, it's three-plus years of basically seeing the same thing, no matter how many vet visits, no matter what medication she was on. It was always the same. And since we've started her on this, everything has changed for the better.
That's great news.
Yep.
That's awesome.
All right. We got more great news. How would you like to be here tonight? Willie, why don't you give a trivia question, and the first two people to call in to Elijah Campbell, manning things at our game studios, first two to correctly answer your question, they will be in the building tonight to see the Predators host the Kraken.
All right. I'm going to make this pretty straightforward, but I'm going to challenge you just a little bit. See, who's done the homework on the opposition tonight? Can you tell me, or tell Elijah, who scored the first goal in Seattle Kraken history?
I know it. Mm. I was watching. I was watching it live. Because I said out loud, I said, there's a trivia question.
It's a trivia question.
That's exactly what I said out loud.
Why don't we be among the first to use that as a trivia question?
I was like, there's a trivia question right there. First two to get that, as everyone is Googling quickly.
Looking at the box score from
although
two
I was
ago.
Watching. I was
well,
watching
there'll
it
be
live.
An advantage to those that were watching.
But as everybody Googles, Elijah, then there's going to be a mad dash. Who's got faster internet? Who's got faster Wi-Fi?
Who can
Wi-Fi?
Navigate their phone,
I'm
quicker
sure,
thumbs.
I'm sure people are texting, even though they need to call.
Let's see when the first wave.
So clearly we don't have a sharp shooter who knew right away.
Is it ringing?
Is it ringing?
Looks like it's ringing.
We're starting. Yes, they're starting. It looks like the Google machines have come through with the answer. It looks like the lines are starting to blow up. So
there you go.
There we go.
And I do think that's a big thing with the Kraken is, and I wish we had a little more time get into this with Elliot, but the expectations for the Kraken I think are higher than any expansion team in the last 20, 25 years.
It's unfair.
Now that Vegas has done what they've done. But one of the things, you look at the Kraken lineup, you see a lot of good players. You don't see superstars. But how did the Vegas team, it was very similar. You looked and you're like, oh, yeah, I know this guy and this guy and this guy. But what you didn't know was that William Karlsson was going to all of a sudden.
Yeah. True.
On a new team, new role, boom. He became
an explosion.
And then Riley Smith, who had struggled, and he comes out. He's the first-line guy. Everything falls right. Do they have a couple guys like this on this Kraken roster who, just given a wide-open new team, different role, chance to play more, get hot, get confident? Do they have a breakout couple of players? That's what will separate. Because right now, what most people see is a solid team with two good goalies, solid defensemen up and down. But they're kind of asking, do they have the dynamic stuff from forward to score enough goals to be really good?
I kind of see what the Predators have here, that mix of will and skill. You know, the balance that they're trying to find. But nobody that necessarily jumps off the page at you when you look through their roster. I mean, they got, like, solid players. But adding some players like a Cal Yonkroke or others to the roster, I think, will be big for them. But is it good enough in that division, that with some of a team like Vegas that they have to deal with, to take them to the next level? I mean, I don't think it's a bad team by any means. But I can see some tweaking being done along the way, depending on where this picks.
Well, who's their main? Are they just going to flip-flop goalies all year? Who's their workhorse?
I was curious about that. They signed Philip Grubauer on the first day of free agency. It kind of shocked some people because they had picked Chris Drieger, who had, when you look at it, he had a much better season than Sergei Bobrovsky for the Panthers. They selected Drieger. And then on top of that, they went and signed Grubauer. They went with Grubauer the first night, and it looks like, according to, you know, the old who skates off the ice first, it'll be Grubauer again tonight. I thought they would come back with Drieger. I thought they would kind of use them 50-50, at least at the start.
Well, they may still end up using them 50-50.
Yeah.
So I guess that's probably my biggest – that's a difference that jumps out at me. Vegas did have the luxury of – look, they get to start their franchise with a Hall of Fame goalie.
Mm-hmm.
And you may like those two guys, but they're not Marc-Andre Fleury of 4 years ago.
Well, definitely they haven't put the skins
no
on the
way
wall like him.
You're
I mean, he's
tell,
first
you
pick
You cannot
in the draft.
Tell me Drieger and Grubauer, they don't have anywhere near the skins that Fleury has.
But it was a unique deal because Fleury was at a point in his career where he had become the backup and he wasn't
but
really being used.
He was also
he
very motivated.
Too. Oh, yes.
Very motivated.
Yes.
I think that is the biggest point
skins
of this.
Skins on the wall and motivated, that's that's lethal.
And wasn't necessarily at the end of his career, even though his previous organization may have thought that, but he wasn't. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Seattle has some solid players, but they don't have – that Marc-Andre Fleury type that is like the team couldn't protect them.
But that's
so
what
therefore
they were
exposed.
That's what we're going to find out is how, because both of those guys, they put up good numbers. So, I mean, Grubauer was, much to our chagrin, he was a Vezina finalist last year.
He was.
Now, some people kind of are like, okay, was it because he was playing on a loaded team? His
that
numbers were lights out.
Game.
But that's where we had a problem in Nashville going, wait a minute, UC Soros, look at the circumstances that he put up his numbers versus Grubauer, but now Grubauer will have a chance to prove it here with this team. And then Drieger, every time he went out there, he just kept proving whatever.
But it's a small, because
he's not
a small sampling.
Yeah. But really,
like, I understand. Like, I'm not saying anything disparaging against these goaltenders, but they're not Marc-Andre Fleury that Vegas got to start with. And that Marc-Andre Fleury had the skins, been there, done it, had won cups, and, oh, by the way, was the number one pick overall.
Sure.
And, oh, by the way, to boot, highly motivated because he had been kicked to the curb in Pittsburgh. He had been chosen, so they chose someone else over him.
But as we talk about this team, I think it's interesting. Most of the prognostications have them projected for more points than the Predators. And so I'm curious kind of deep down in the hallways for the Predators. Is that like, oh, okay, you think they're better than us? Okay. Now, part of it has to do with, you know, the Pacific. There's still a couple more, like Anaheim and L.A., they're coming around a little bit, especially L.A. There's some expectations there for the first time in a few years. But it's still a little bit more wide open. But like Dom Lucision, we referenced him yesterday, the analytics guy. He's got the Kraken in the top 10 of the league. He loves their analytics in terms of – now, they still don't have Yanni Gourde, who's coming over from Tampa. He's hurt. He's still recovering from a surgery from the offseason. So they don't have him yet. They don't have Yonkroke yet. And then we'll see. They still have some cap space if they want to go add a guy. But you look at their lineup, it's all good players. Like, they don't – that's what Vegas – you get the fourth best defensive player off of every team. You have six or seven or eight number four defensemen when you get down to it. So they have good, solid players. And so what does that translate to? So to me – now, do we have our winner?
We do.
We have okay,
two
so,
winners.
So this guy and another guy that scored the other night, to me, are two guys – that I'm curious about. Like, if Seattle's going to have a breakout, Ryan Donato.
Who was the answer.
And Morgan Geeky, who tied the game
in the third period.
He's not the answer. But he was with Carolina, kind of buried in the depth chart. Those are two guys that have got a little talent that I wonder, do they emerge as the guys that become frontline players for them? I don't know.
So congratulations to Eric Olson and Jacob Dattler, I hope I said Datchler. I hope I said that.
Yeah.
Datchler. Great job, guys. Thanks for listening, and good job answering Ryan Donato. See you tonight at Bridgestone Arena, Predators and Kraken. So good job by you guys. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We're about to find out that.
They came back, and they were right there with Vegas.
By the way, did you catch, you know, remember I said yesterday, like, I feel very good about Colorado 1, and I feel very good about Arizona 8 in the Central. But 2 through 7, I'm not real positive how it's going to play out. I could sit here and slot them, but I don't feel really, really confident about them. Did you notice that Elliott seemed to be really high up in the peg?
A lot of people are. Up in Canada, there's a lot of buzz about the Jets because they've got the goalie. We've known they've had the firepower. People think that Pierre-Luc Dubois will be much more settled and ready to be the star that he's supposed to be, which he really never got going. They had a ruined season last year, both of them. They got swapped, and they never found anything. But people are optimistic about him doing his thing. And then they got a couple of veteran defensemen, Nate Schmidt and Brendan Dillon, that they think will patch their biggest weakness, which was they leaned too heavily on Hellebuck to bail them out. They weren't a very good defensive team. So that's the story up there. They're kind of a sexy pick out of Canada.
This division is interesting. I think that Winnipeg will be a contender. Dallas, we all think, will be back because they'll be healthy. The wild card to me, pun intended, is the Wild. Are they – I got to see it. I got to see it before I'm ready to say
– I got
to
see it from Winnipeg, too. I mean, Minnesota and Winnipeg, a lot of people are high on, and I need to see it.
I think Winnipeg still has some players that have the skins on the wall and have the experience that Minnesota just doesn't.
I'll take Winnipeg's goaltender.
Yeah.
All day long.
Oh, yeah. He's
all
really
day
good.
Long. Now, by the way, I know Kaprizov, we talked about it, but let's see the follow-up to that.
$9 million a year.
But we're acting like, hey, that's it, done deal. I mean, this is what he is the rest of his career. Well, okay. I mean.
He is an immense
I
talent.
Understand. But, okay, but guys don't take a step back in year two?
Listen, I hope it happens. I'm not counting on that, though. He is a star. The kind of guy that they have not had before. Now, the problem they're going to have is next year when they start getting hit with the penalties from Parisi and Suter, that's going to be noticeable.
Yeah.
So depth is going to be an issue for them. But they've got, you know, he and Fiala, that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. Fiala in particular.
Chase, I bet you could tell us about MGM.
I sure can. Very well done, Darren, because we're going to talk about the game tonight. You can sign up today at BetMGM. You can enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet. Here you go. The King of Sportsbooks welcomes you to Showtime with the lock of the year. All you have to do is place a $10 moneyline wager on either Tampa Bay or Philadelphia. And if either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME200 to win $200 in free bets if either Tampa Bay or Philadelphia scores a touchdown. Nothing beats a W at BetMGM. New customer offer, paid in free bets. You must be 21 years or older. Must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Remember, it's not yet. It's a little premature, Elijah. It's not yet.
It is for Mike Schilt.
We're going to get to that. Hold on one second. We were talking about that during the break. Tomorrow, your last chance. Last chance tomorrow to get tickets to be at Nissan Monday night, Titans hosting the Bills. 8 o'clock hour tomorrow morning for Robbie and Rex Road, the noon hour for our show, the 4 o'clock hour for Stillman and Company, and then the winner, the two winners, will be announced tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. 5:30 p.m. tomorrow, the winners will be announced. Two winners to be at Nissan Stadium for the Titans and the Bills. And if they have Buffalo addresses, they should chuck them. Just saying. Just putting that out there. If it says, you know, congratulations, Johnny from Buffalo, New York, you just crumble it up, throw it in the trash, pull out another one. Congratulations, Eric from Hendersonville. Just saying.
That's called ring savvy. You think about these things ahead of time, you know?
So tell everybody what we were discussing during the break as, by the way, Game 5, Dodgers-Giants tonight.
Oh, man, what a game that's going to be. Logan Webb, who's pitching for the Giants, has just been incredible.
Lights out.
And he threw a great game in Game 1. So
is Kirk Tally behind the plate? Or is it
no?
Posey.
They've been going with Buster Posey, yeah. I would imagine.
Although I did
after
see
the
Kirk
day
get a little pinch hit.
Yeah, he's been pinch hitting.
Game three.
Right. I'd be surprised if it's not him. So, philosophical differences is what Derek Gould is putting out there from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. But Mike Schilt, now remember, the Cardinals won 17 straight to clinch the wild card, went in on a roll, and then battled the Dodgers in the wild card game all the way to the final out. Of course, Chris Taylor hit the game-winning home run. So you're thinking, hey, Cardinals, great year. You know, rescued themselves, looked like they were going nowhere, fun ending, take it right into the next year. But they have fired him based on philosophical differences. Now, I would have to say, I can't think of a manager that's been fired after that hot of an ending
of
the season.
That's like a Jimmy Johnson firing. That's kind of what that feels like. I know they didn't win a championship, but it just feels weird.
Like, I'm just racking my brain. In any sport, is a team won, I mean, 17 in a row, that doesn't happen. That's, you know, the whole movie Moneyball is based on the A's winning, what, 20 in a row? And then the Indians a couple years ago, Darren, won 22 in a row. Is that right? Didn't they break...
Was it 22?
I think it was 22, but 17 is starting to get into that neighborhood. It just never happens. They made the postseason. That is extremely out of left field.
So, who's going to take that job?
That's a good question.
Like, your Mets are still looking for a manager.
They need a skipper.
When are they not looking for a skipper?
Padres are looking for a skipper now. The Cardinals.
Who likes the Dodgers? Who likes the Giants tonight?
I was just telling Chase, if you look at the two teams side by side, who's the better team? It's not even close. Yeah, the Dodgers are a better team.
Well, and they're more prepared for the stage too. Yeah. They've been there year in and year out.
But
Giants have not.
But isn't it something though that the Giants, every time you start saying, "I don't know, look at the Dodgers, they're going to come back to earth."
The Dodgers
just keep winning.
The Dodgers have skins on the wall,
right, Ricky?
They have the skins on the wall.
They do. I mean, they do. Now, what does that mean? Does that guarantee win? No, it doesn't guarantee victory. But they do have the skins on the wall, and the Giants don't. Dodgers are...
I told you.
Look, and we know there's a big game player for the Dodgers. He proved it in Game 4. He had a monster game.
They got a couple.
He did.
Well, they do. But I will say this.
Him especially.
They have lost some guys, too, that have been, like Kiki, who we've talked about. There's been a couple guys that have been really big in postseason play for them that are not there anymore.
Max Muncy is out.
One of them in the past is now in Atlanta.
That's right. There you go.
Jocktober, man.
That's another one, man. Jocktober. I'm surprised you don't have his hairdo.
I don't think I could pull that off.
No? Well, you just dye the top and give yourself a mohawk.
Yeah.
Blonde mohawk.
If Jared does it, I'll do it. He's not listening.
You want to do it for game one?
No.
That was quick.
No.
It's radio, man. Nobody's going to see.
I don't.
It's radio.
Yeah, no. I do some TV on the side. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're going to do it because you're on TV?
Yeah, I gotta keep that going.
Yeah. Okay. Good one.
Jared, do we want the Dodgers? No. Jared doesn't want the Dodgers. I want the Dodgers.
Well, I don't know who.
I want. Yeah,
so many Nashville ties in that game on both teams. It'd be really interesting to watch.
I'm guessing
we'll get the last couple innings in after the game tonight, after the Preds game.
Probably. Bucks? Everybody going Bucks?
Going Bucks.
Bucks.
What about our man Chris Sanders? He's got the Eagles.
Yeah. Well. Probably more reason to go Bucks. Well, sorry, Chris. Love you.
We'll see you tomorrow night at NBA.
That'll do it for our show today. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Continue to be safe. We'll close out the week with you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then. Stay tuned. Stillman & Company is next.